I'm Marty Moscoen. Welcome to Radio Times. Eileen Dineno, the widowed mother of seven, died in the Berks County Prison in Pennsylvania 2 years ago. She'd been jailed for not paying $2,000 in fines levied on her because her children had been truant. Our guest, State Senator Judy Schwenk, introduced a bill with State Senator Stuart Greenleaf to reduce the criminal penalties for truancy to shift responsibility from the courts to the school districts. That legislation, known as Eileen's Law, is now the law signed last month by Governor Tom Wolf. It says that fines and incarceration are used as a last resort. We asked Senator Schwenk to join us. She represents the 11th Senatorial District in Berks County. And nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty. I'm very pleased to be here.
We're happy to have you here. Also with us is Leola Hardy. She's senior attorney at the Defenders Association of Philadelphia, where she's a juvenile policy analyst. And Leola, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. This is such an important issue. Judy Schwenk, let me go to you and actually go to the story of Eileen Dineno. She did die. She was being held in prison, or I guess in jail, for a couple of days because of this these fines that she was not paying. Why was she being incarcerated?
Well, because she had several children. I think they were two young men in the family who were truant. They were teenagers, were not going to school. It turns out that after we contacted the family after Eileen's tragic passing, there were a lot of issues in this family. They needed some help, some social service help. We arranged, for some bills. Water was turned off, electric turned off. There were some serious issues with the family, and it didn't seem as though Eileen was prepared to be able to go up against the court system in dealing with the truancy of her children. It was really a tragic story.
Absolutely. How did she die? Why did she die in jail, in prison?
I don't know the details of that. Apparently she took ill. I don't think that it was I don't know necessarily what the exact circumstances were, but the point is that it can never make sense to put a mother in jail when she has a family at home that needs to be taken care of. It became so clear to us that the process that we're using here is absolutely wrong, not working, and in fact is hurting families and children.
Well, I do want to get to the new law, but let me quote District Judge Dean Patton. He said this lady, referring to Eileen Dineno, didn't need to be there, meaning in prison. We don't do debtor's prison anymore. That went out 100 years ago. Is that essentially what we were talking about, debtor's prison?
Right. She couldn't pay her fees. So that, there was, at the time, mandatory imprisonment was a possibility if you could not comply with the fine. Now, the MDJs, the district justices, had some flexibility with that. At least some of them exercised that, but others did not. And they were perfectly within their rights to do that, but it was absolutely a policy that wasn't working.
So how does this new law address what we've been talking about? What does
it
do?
Well, it ends mandatory imprisonment, so that can't be a possibility, and it's only to be used as a last resort and for the least time appropriate. And before even that comes into play, a parent has, certainly we'll go back to the fact that the school has to start with a conference with the parent, bringing in social service network to help a family that needs it, and then possibility of community service, then fines. But it's far less punitive than it was before, and the focus is on restoration and getting a student back to school. That's our goal.
It seems like it also shifts some more responsibility to the school,
yes,
the school district, assuming, I guess, the teachers, school administrators know these children better than the courts do.
Absolutely. They do, and they know who, what services may need to be called in terms of assisting a student and their family and making sure that they get to school. In Berks County, Marty, we actually had a truancy task force that was looking at these issues prior to this tragic case. So we were aware that we had a problem, not just in our city school district, but in school districts throughout the county, actually.
Let me turn to you, Leo Lahardy. How does Philadelphia County handle children who are truant or have these chronic absences?
Well, in Philadelphia, we take a different approach. Looking at the House Bill 1907 that was newly enacted, I'm very encouraged by that. However, I just don't believe that the bill went far enough. We can't incarcerate our way out of the problem of truancy. In Philadelphia, there is a collaborative approach to dealing with issues of truancy, a more holistic approach. We have regional truancy courts and truant officers, court masters who try to dig deeper to find the reasons for the truancy. There are many, many reasons. Truancy is a symptom. It's not the problem itself. So they tried to peel back the layers and put services in place for families to deal with kids not going to school.
So in Philadelphia, would a mother like Eileen Danino, would she ever be fined or incarcerated because her children didn't go to school?
Not within the regional truancy courts. She would not be.
Well, let me go back to you, Senator Schwenk. One of the concerns, and we're hearing this from Leo Lahardy, is that while the court is the last resort in this new legislation, in this new law, it's still there.
I would agree. I fought hard against that, and I would like to note that Senator Greenleaf, who was a true champion on this legislation, agreed that this was something that we would have preferred to totally eliminate from the legislation. But in the process of getting a better product than what we originally had, this still remained in it, and perhaps it's something we can address in the future. One thing I'd like to point out
Sure.
is that there was such a huge discrepancy between how counties enforce this. For example, in 2014, in Allegheny County, which is larger than Berks, there were 60 imprisonments and 6,000 court cases. And in Berks, we had 147 imprisonments and 10,500 court cases. So, you know, across the state, there were great differences. Certainly, we were an outlier in my county. And that was one of the reasons, you know, despite what happened with Eileen, we knew we needed to address this.
Does this law bring more uniformity, you think, to how the issue of truancy is held in is dealt with in Pennsylvania?
Absolutely. So for MDJs who are looking at this, who ultimately, if the problem gets to that point, there is no mandatory imprisonment. They don't have that option available to them.
Let me go back to you, Leola. You say that in many ways truancy is a symptom of larger problems, perhaps within a family, for a child, him or herself. Help us understand that.
Well, in representing children who are in the juvenile justice system, many times our children have issues with not going to school. And when you talk to them and you speak with their families, their parents, you really have to dig deeper. It's the symptom. It is not the problem. The problems could be as simple as not having a school uniform. It could be that they did not swipe in that day, yet they were, in fact, present at school due to the class attendance, but they didn't swipe in, so they're marked as being unexcused. It could be that the child was sick, but the parent, for whatever reason, could not get a doctor's note to excuse the absence. There are also issues that are more insidious. Throughout Philadelphia, many schools have closed and have merged. So you have kids coming from different neighborhoods going to schools. There may be issues with that. Kids may be afraid of possible violence in the school, bullying in the school. They may have special needs that either have not been diagnosed or have not been adequately addressed, and which marginalizes those kids. They're seen as a problem, and so they may not want to go to school and feel comfortable. Also, there are issues with the family structure. A parent may be drug addicted, homelessness. A mother has to go into a shelter, and the child misses school. So you really have to do a deeper dive when you talk about children missing school.
Judy, does this law address what Leola just laid out for us about the myriad reasons why children might not go to school?
I think Leona is spot on this. There's so many different issues that can arise within a family. And this starts many times in elementary school. It's, you know, it's not, we often see this in the case of, you know, kids that are 15 or older, but actually it begins much, much earlier. This law does address that through the requirement that the school notify the parent when a student is truant. That would be three unexcused absences, and to offer a conference to arrange an attendance improvement plan that could include appropriate training or services to the family. Many school districts already do this. Certainly I'm aware of that, but not all of them did. So it's incumbent upon the school to begin that process to work with the family or with a guardian. And by the way, Marty, this also applies to private and charter schools, and that has been a huge issue as well.
To make sure that it applies to all children in schools in the Commonwealth. Going back to you, Leola, are there these parent-teacher conferences that Senator Schwenk just talked about? Does that happen in Philadelphia as well?
Yes, it does happen in Philadelphia. And after the issue with truancy cannot be resolved within the school itself, then the children are referred to the regional truancy courts.
And then what happens there?
Well, they have service providers there. So they really look to find the problem, the reason why the child is not going to school, whether it is the child, whether it's the parent, whether it's their circumstance. And they have providers who can provide certain programming for the child, for the adult. So they really take a holistic approach there within the regional truancy courts in Philadelphia.
Going back to you, Judy Schwenk, when then do these fines, does even an incarceration happen under this new law?
This would only happen for failing to address the issue. It's a last resort. So in the case that community service was offered, or there was an ability to pay a fine, there was just willful negligence on the part of a parent or a guardian. That's the only case where actually this could happen.
And how will you know, or how will we know, if this new law is working?
Well, that part of the legislation is that there's a study for the impact of the changes so that 5 years after they go into effect, so that we can determine their effectiveness and see if there's a need for further changes.
And this was signed by Governor Wolf about a month ago. And I have to say, I was talking to Leola about this. It got so little news coverage. And I was searching the Internet. We were all searching the Internet yesterday to get some more information. And we came up with a couple of articles. Why do you think, we're almost out of time here, Judy, but why do you think this isn't a headline?
Well, you know, when you had that tragic story of a death in jail, that brought everybody's attention to it. But I don't think people truly focus enough on why children aren't succeeding in school or some of the issues that they face and that families face and the difficulty that they have in just trying to get a child to school. It's so important, but yet we don't pay enough attention to it.
Well, State Senator Judy Schwenk, thanks for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you.
And Senator Schwenk represents the 11th Senatorial District in Berks County, Pennsylvania. Leola Hardy staying with us for the rest of the hour. We've got calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. Much more after this short break. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoane. Let me just recap here. It's estimated that between 5 and 7.5 million students miss about a month of school every year. That, of course, puts them at greater risk for things like academic problems and, frankly, for dropping out of school entirely. There's a new law in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania that has a more school-based approach, used to have a more criminal approach to understand why a student is missing so many days, using the courts as a last resort. And we just said goodbye to Pennsylvania State Senator Judy Schwenk, one of the authors of this legislation that led to this new law. Staying with us is Leola Hardy from the Defenders Association of Philadelphia. And we've got calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Leola, one of the things that you said earlier was that one of the things that you're not happy about with this bill is that it still uses, I guess, summary conviction or uses the courts as either to incarcerate, I guess, a parent, maybe even a child. Let me give you a chance to respond to that part first.
Well, the incarceration would be for the parent, not the child, within the truancy court system. However, especially as a defender of children, I'm very concerned that a child could still get a summary conviction for habitual truancy. It doesn't happen here in Philadelphia, but statewide, they do have a mechanism for expungement of that conviction. However, the child must eventually earn a high school diploma in order to be eligible for the expungement. And they also have had to pay all of the fines associated with their case.
The child would have to pay?
Yes, if the child is actually fined. Sometimes if the child is over 15, the child could have a summary conviction and they could be fined. And you really need to think about the collateral consequences of even a summary conviction on a child's record, whether they are going to, they do finish school and maybe they don't have money to pay fines associated with the case, applying to colleges, getting jobs. In our office, I have had children who have convictions. People think that no one can find out about a child's conviction, which is definitely not true, who aren't able to get a summer job based on having a conviction. Even a summary conviction can really have long-lasting effects on children.
I'm wondering about the incarceration part of the law that still stands. Yes, it's more of a last resort, but it's still there.
Yes, it is. And we really cannot incarcerate our way out of these kinds of problems because, as I said earlier, there's so many issues that go into a child not going to school that you really need to dig deeper within that. I am encouraged by the new law in that only if the truancy is willful, right, or something on the parent's part is willful will incarceration be used. But I just don't think it goes far enough. And I definitely do not think a child should end up with a conviction for habitual truancy.
And is this a form of debtor's prison? I mean, I'm assuming in many ways we're talking about poor families, poor children, where there probably isn't the kind of support system that one might see in a more middle-class family.
I definitely think so. Rarely do I encounter a child who just doesn't want to go to school, doesn't want to get a high school diploma. There are reasons behind them not wanting to go to their particular school. So we really need to look at that and understand that better to make a difference.
Let me get some callers in on the conversation. Shane called us up pretty shortly after the show began. Shane from Mullica Hill, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Marty, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Two comments. The first being, I find it very interesting the fact that the power is being shifted back to the schools. And as you mentioned earlier, that concept of uniformity, what is it that's going to ensure each school handles this situation the same? And the second piece being, I just wonder, getting students back into school, what are the implications from missing that month of school academically, socially? Is this doing enough to really prepare students for that, you know, post-high school life?
And Shane, I'm looking at the computer here. You are a school counselor?
That's correct.
So you might be able to answer your own question. Let me throw it back on you, and then I'll give Leola Hardy a chance to weigh in as well. What do you think students need when they've been having these chronic absences for whatever reason? What do they need to sort of fit back into the school system?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing would be administrative support. So I think teachers and counselors are doing a tremendous job. But I think at the end of the day, you know, with any institution, numbers matter. And I think school districts are worried about their graduation rates. They're worried about their truancy rates. There's the entire piece of financial assistance from the state and government. And, you know, high numbers of truancy is going to affect that. So I think getting more of a collaborative approach, you know, not only from the student school counselor, but accountability from the state end, where administrators are held to certain expectations and, you know, they have to follow through with that.
Well, Shane, you raise some really good points. Let me give Leola a chance to weigh in on this. And I'm assuming uniformity, I mean, if this is the law, the districts and schools have to abide by this new law. Leola?
Well, I can see some issues with uniformity. Under the new law, they actually defined truancy. Before, there was no definition as to how many unexcused absences that a child could have. Now we know that it's three. However, in terms of uniformity, it really depends on what a school defines, how a school would define an unexcused absence. And different schools and different school districts may define it differently. So an action at one school may not be seen as unexcused versus another. So I think that is where you may see the issue with uniformity.
And perhaps some discretion, maybe depending on the population of students?
Absolutely, there could be discretion that's used and may not be used uniformly throughout the system. And I think that is where the issue comes. Like, what is an unexcused absence?
Shane, I appreciate the call to Radio Times. We are talking about truancy, for lack of a better word. In fact, we'll be talking about that word a little bit later in the hour. And there is a new law in Pennsylvania to address the problem that too many students miss too much school and what to do about it. 1-888-477-9499 is the phone number to call to join our conversation. We've got calls and comments coming in. RadioTimes@WHYY.org. And you can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. In fact, Leola, a tweet from a listener: not addressing student trauma, homelessness, incarcerated parents, bullying, and poverty influence truancy equals a fantasy. But it seems you mentioned this earlier, which is that these are real issues that many students have to deal with, or young people have to deal with. I'm assuming when we're talking about the kind of defiant student who refuses to go to school, that's really a small subset of what we're talking about.
I would say so. With the children that I have encountered as a defender, that is a small subset of the children who are actually have issues with truancy and not attending school. Most that I encounter have other issues. And I think there is something that really can show that. After you go through the regional truancy courts, if things cannot be worked out there, then a dependent petition is filed and the Department of Human Services gets involved and the family and the child has to appear in family court. When you look at the statistics, in 2013, with the Office of Juvenile Justice and Delinquency Prevention, you can see cities and counties give them their data. And you look, in 2013, I saw that for status offenses,
right.
Status offenses are offenses that are only unlawful because of a person's age. So it would be truancy, curfew violations, that sort of thing. And when you look at the numbers of petitions that were solely based on status offenses, it was very low, like 26. However, there were over 3,000 dependent petitions for abuse and neglect. And what you really find out when you dig deeper, it's not that there are only 26 instances of truancy, but when they come in and they refer to family court, there's so many other issues that weren't addressed or could not be addressed in the regional truancy courts. So they end up opening a regular dependent petition for that child.
Wow.
So I think that is very telling that, at least in Philadelphia, the issues of kids not going to school, it's so much deeper than a child not wanting to get an education, not aspiring to graduate, not aspiring for more in their lives.
Are there instances, though, where the truancy is defined as the initial issue? Once, as you say, people dig deeper, where a child might be removed from a home because of something like truancy?
Well, Yes, they can be removed from the home if you're not going to school. And you see truancy from two different avenues. We have the Defender Association. We represent children who are in the dependent system and also the delinquent system. And then we represent children who are in both. So you see that I work within the delinquent system, and many of those children have had issues with attending school.
Right.
And when you have issues of not attending school, that can affect the outcome of your case.
Well, I'm also curious, with all the cases that you've worked with, that once you address some of those underlying issues, do children then go back to school on a more regular basis? If you can address some of these family issues or some of the problems of things like homelessness, do the children then begin to attend school?
In some cases, actually, yes, they can. Within the delinquent system, we really try to take a holistic approach when we represent kids who are in the juvenile justice system. In our office, we have this idea of participatory defense. We really want to take a holistic approach and involve not just see a client that we may have in a vacuum, but we really need to look at their families and their communities, because our goal is not just to defend children, but really enable them to be able to not come back into the system and move on.
Let me get our third guest in on the conversation, and this is Hetty Chang. She is the executive director of Attendance Works and joining us on Radio Times. Hetty Chang, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Let me begin with the word truant. You do not like that word. Help us understand why and what's a better word.
It's not that I don't like the word. It's that there are multiple definitions of what attendance is. Truant is generally only looking at unexcused absences, and it is part of our compulsory ed system, and we use the term truant to start to identify when and at what point, what number of unexcused absences we want to use legal strategies to get kids back to school. The challenge that we've seen is that particularly starting even in the very young children, you can have kids missing a lot of school for both excused and unexcused reasons, or they're even being suspended, sometimes sort of being pushed out of school.
Right.
And they miss so much school. If you miss so much school in the early grades, in kindergarten and first, you're not on reading by the end of third. What happens then is that you don't like school because you're not successful in school. You never even had a chance to be there and enough to succeed. And so while the term truant may be important for legal interventions, we're missing an opportunity to invest in prevention, early intervention, and only use legal solutions when it's an absolute critical last resort. And we are failing to understand that we have an attendance challenge that starts so much earlier that could be used for much more preventive action. So we don't just look at truancy. We think it's really important to look at chronic absence, which is broadly defined as missing too much school for any reason. And if you think of chronic absence as missing about 10% over the course of a school year, it's only missing 2 days a month. And starting in the earliest grades, it's a real
sure.
early warning sign that kids may be on the path towards, if we don't resolve it, get them in school, help them learn truancy later on.
Leola Hardy, our other guest, described from her experience representing children here in Philadelphia that there are so many reasons why children do not go to school. What have you found from your work, Hetty?
Yeah, well, the reasons can vary by individual and by school, but we see four kind of buckets of reasons. One are misconceptions or myths. Folks don't understand that any absence, even excused, can add up to too much time on class, out of class, just 2 days a month. So that's myths and misconceptions. Another
sure.
are barriers. So it's the barriers of lack of access to health care or chronic illness, lack of access to decent, reliable transportation or no safe path to school, trauma. Those are barriers that are real that keep kids from getting to school. The third issue we see is aversion. Kids are actually getting pushed out of the school system. Maybe you have really ineffective and even kind of exclusionary school discipline practices. Our parents had such negative experiences in the past themselves or currently with schools that they're not so comfortable sending their kids to school, or the educational curriculum is just so not effective that folks are voting with their feet, or there's bullying. So that issue of aversion. And the last issue can be disengagement. You don't have a curriculum that's relevant, that kids think, oh, this is why I should be there because this is going to get me to my better future. The climate of the school isn't engaging and warming and welcoming. And so those those issues of myths, barriers, aversion, and disengagement can really mean kids are out of school. And when you use data, you talk to kids, you'll find out what's going on. The challenge when you see 30-40% of kids chronically absent, you got to wonder whether there's systemic issues either in the neighborhood or in the school going on.
And you're nodding your head, Leola, when you see absences of that magnitude.
Yes, definitely. I definitely agree with what Heidi has said. She really gave a great explanation of some of the barriers that children have. And it's really a big problem because it can have such long-lasting effects, not just with children not being able to graduate from high school or be literate, but within the dependent system and the delinquent system. You know, children are removed from the house if they don't go to school. In the dependent system, they may go to a group home and go to a local school district that may be better than perceived as better than Philadelphia School District, but no one looks at the emotional aspect of that. And with the child, usually they don't look like the people there. They're labeled as the kids from the group home. Within the delinquent system, you're treated differently from your first encounter if you have issues with unexcused absences. You could have the lowest of offenses. You could be joyriding on a bike and you get arrested and you're a kid and you may not be eligible for certain diversion programs because they will look at your school record. You may be detained until your court date because of your school records. And let's say you are your child and you're on probation. Truancy can mean that you missed one day of school.
Wow.
Or late one time and be placed out of the home. So there are far-reaching effects of kids missing school, and we really need to address those issues.
Let's take a very short break, and then we'll get back to our conversation. That's Leola Hardy. She is senior attorney at the Defenders Association of Philadelphia, juvenile policy analyst, and she represents young people. Hedy Chang is the executive director of Attendance Works. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscoe, talking with Hedy Chang and also with Leola Hardy about the many reasons children do not go to school and what can be done about it. You can join the conversation by calling us at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times to join the conversation. Hedy, we began our hour talking with a law change here in Pennsylvania, essentially moving fines and even incarceration to a last resort response to a child's chronic absence. Are there states, first of all, do you think that's a move in the right direction? And are there states you think that do a better job than other states when it comes to things like truancy and chronic absences?
First of all, I absolutely think it should be a very last resort for legal action. I mean, there is a difference, by the way, just when I was hearing the Leola speak earlier, for someone understanding that a kid hasn't been showing up to school to figure out solutions, because you might want to really think about how do I create a really engaging school experience. I've known of foster kids, for example, who they actually feel pushed out because they don't feel any connection to the school that they're going to. The kids, kids go to school because they feel loved and belonging and engaged in their curriculum. So the thing of using attendance data to inform action is different from using attendance data to start creating legal, almost punitive solutions, which I think generally hasn't been proven to be effective. Mm. So there are a number of states who are actually in California, for example, where I live, we have a system which I think what we've done is we've now adopted chronic absence as a school accountability metric as part of our funding formula, and schools have to look at their chronic absence data, which doesn't just – by the way, I'm not looking for legal solutions to chronic absence.
Sure.
You have legal solutions connected to truancy when it's at very, very, very severe levels. And you want to keep those two things very distinct, because chronic absence means you want to unpack why kids aren't showing up to school, and you don't even want to have the legal environment environment, you know, anywhere in the mix, particularly at the, we kind of think about a comprehensive tiered approach. The first two tiers, you have nothing to do with legal. It's all about working with kids and families, helping kids and families address barriers, helping them understand how absence is set up, and looking at what's happening in the school environment, which might in fact be pushing kids out. And so California has really adopted that and made that part of what schools are looking at. This is actually chronic absence is a metric in the Every Student Succeeds Act nationally that everyone now has to report on, and states now have an option of using it as something that schools have to look at as part of their school improvement process. Connecticut, for example, has been adopting this. California and Connecticut adopted chronic absence as a metric in their school improvement process before ESSA was passed. Connecticut actually has seen two straight years of reductions in chronic absence because it's taking a much more, if you will, public health-oriented approach that starts with the schools and communities engaging families, making supporting them. And then when kids are really serious, you have serious challenges, you do take a much more coordinated approach with public agencies, Department of Social Services, and if needed, you might have a legal the legal system involved, because often sometimes kids are, or their families are known, and you actually have to coordinate what's happening, because sometimes kids' involvement with the legal system can actually cause them to miss school because they have a court date, they have something. So you really need that coordinated response. But certainly there are states that are moving that way, and there are new states that are starting. Connecticut's actually starting to pass a law, I think, that or has passed a law that said you can't use legal action in the beginning at all.
Well, that, and that sounds sort of close to what happened here in Pennsylvania. Leola, do you want to respond to that? Then we got a bunch of people that want to join our conversation.
Yes, I completely agree with Hetty. Punitive solutions just don't work. Whether it's within a truancy court, a dependent case, a delinquent case, studies show that removing children outside of the home, except in the most extreme cases, can really have negative effects on that child and that family. It just doesn't work. Punishment doesn't work. Extreme punishment does not work. And really, I agree so wholeheartedly with the idea that you really have to unpack this. Here in Philadelphia, I'm part of a group, one of the stakeholders, called Pushback Philly. And it was based on a showing of having Dr. Monique Morris, who wrote the book Push Out, the Criminalization of Black Girls. And they hosted a talk, and there were various stakeholders who were there and were really moved to try to do something within Philadelphia. And really, it's kind of like the marginalization, the reasons why black and brown girls feel marginalized within school and stop going, and the effects from there.
And again, just another example of how complex, but also how important all of this is. Let me get Donna from Bucks County to join our conversation. Hi, Donna. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have two sons that I had go through the public school system. The first one, we didn't have as much success with. We did. He was taken out of the home. It was so detrimental and traumatic to everyone in the family. The second one, we reached out to the schools and constantly asked for help and constantly demanded that somebody help us, because we knew that going all the way to the punitive edge really doesn't work.
You know, Donna, I hate to do this to you. It's just not the greatest phone line, and I'm just going to read what I see here on the screen. You're a mother of two children who were truant, who were absent from school. Sounds like one of the children perhaps taken from the home. But the question being, why do school administrators give truant students suspension when what they really need is more attention? And I think that's such an important question. I apologize for not taking more of your call, but we're straining to hear what you have to say. And perhaps, Hetty, I can toss that to you, the idea of suspending a student who doesn't come to school.
Sane.
Insane, you say.
You know, that we should not be suspending kids for not coming to school. And I actually one time was in a conference where one student said, because she was not liking school, that she was looking for the vacation out. She was intentionally getting suspensions so she wouldn't have to show up. This is not a solution at all. If kids are, you know, truant, the problem is they're missing instruction. Suspension just adds to it. They actually, in the state of Rhode Island, there was a superintendent who was looking at the reasons for suspension and realized that suspension for truancy was happening so much that she created a whole state movement, and the state of Rhode Island passed a law saying you cannot suspend kids for being truant because it absolutely makes no sense. It's an administrative way that, you know, then you have the kid not, you don't have to deal with it. It has nothing to do with changing outcomes for that kid.
I mean, that's that punitive thing we've been talking about. Leola, anything you want to add to that?
Suspending kids for anything except for the most extreme cases really can affect a child wanting to be in that school. And I really think that people need to take a look at that, not just the reasons for suspension. Whether it's being in the wrong hallway, whether it's not being in uniform. I mean, we really need to collaboratively work to engage students, not push them out of the system.
Let me get Ted.
This is why we actually include in the definition of chronic absence the suspensions. If kids are missing school for any reason, we need to examine and unpack what's happening. And absolutely, I agree with Leola. And if schools are suspending kids in that way, it means they're having problems with organizing their school so it's meaningful and engagement and having appropriate discipline that helps kids learn what they need to learn. And that's a sign that one of the problems that's going on is how the school is organized to support kids learning.
Let me get Ted from Philadelphia to join our conversation. Hi, Ted. Go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Laws often have unintended consequences. If the child's responsible adults or parents are undocumented aliens, how does that affect Philly as a sanctuary city or reporting that family to the INS? I'll take my call off the air.
All right. And I don't know, Leola, do you feel like you're in a position to answer that or not? Philadelphia is a sanctuary city.
Yes, I really do not have the answer to that question. I have not seen a case where I have represented a child and that has happened, but I really can't speak to that.
Fair enough.
So,
yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
San Francisco, where I live, is also a sanctuary city. And just I will say one of the things that's been really important, and I actually was in Los Angeles earlier this week, or last week, there needs to be real. So in my understanding, you should not be reporting kids who are undocumented. If you're a sanctuary city, that's part of what you've agreed to do is to stand up for their rights and not report. And the issue is that families need to understand that they are not going to be reported by their schools. Schools are not reporting to INS, and there has to be a way of sharing that news with families, because I am hearing anecdotal reports of families not coming to schools because they're fearful around their immigration status.
Let me get Terrell from Philadelphia to join our conversation. Hi, Terrell. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning, Marty. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to weigh in as a person who used to work in the truancy services for Philadelphia. I worked in the Northwest region for 5 years as a supervisor. We oversaw 38 schools in that area. And we definitely took a holistic approach. And so it was saddening, and it's very delightful and promising to hear that there's legislation that has been passed where we are not being punitive and incarcerating families. In the 5 years that I worked, we incarcerated no families whatsoever.
Okay.
About 10 to 15% were escalated from regional court to family court, and a small percentage of those were placed out of the home.
Well, I appreciate the call, Terrell, and really underscores what you were saying, Leo. At least in Philadelphia, families are not incarcerated because of truancy.
Well, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
Just not within the regional truancy courts. But children in the dependent system are removed from the home at times, and they can go to a placement where they're also delinquent kids. And on the delinquent side, children definitely are being incarcerated due to truancy issues. So
little kids?
Well, yes. I mean, children can be. If you are on probation and you miss school, you can be placed. And studies show that placing kids outside of the home, except in the most extreme circumstances, can be counterproductive. The issues of reentry to their communities, their homes, and going back to a common theme throughout this entire show, you really need to take a holistic approach, because you can send someone away somewhere, a child away, and they may seemingly be doing okay, but you have not addressed the issues in their homes and in their communities. And unless you give them the tools to survive and thrive in their own families and communities, you really haven't answered the problem. You've just put a Band-Aid on it.
Let me read a comment from Hillary. She says, back in the 1980s, I would skip middle school because I was getting bullied. I'm glad bullying is getting more attention now. This has been another theme in this hour. And, Hedy, just how we hear certainly these cases of bullying, how much do you think that does keep children out of school?
Right.
Don't answer that.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Bullying is, you know, we don't know the extent to which it does. It certainly is an issue that's present. I've even seen it in the very early grades. One time I was in a school, they had high levels of chronic absence. It was a second grade classroom. I asked what was going on, and the parents told me there was a kid who was bullying, and as a result, all the other kids in the class kept calling in sick because the teacher was challenged with dealing with the bullying issue. Mm. So what I would say is that how much is a problem varies, but if you can use chronic absence data by classroom, by school, by grade, see where it's high and ask the question of what might be going on. Talk to kids, families, talk to your teachers, use other data to find out, do we have bullying issues going on? Do we have health issues going on? Then you start to get to those roots of the problem, that if we can resolve them as early in a child's life as possible, you can both allow our schools to succeed with their instruction and kids to succeed because they have a chance to learn.
We can't take Jill's call, but I'm going to read it. She says she taught for more than 30 years. Often my students were absent because they were caring for a sick parent or a sibling. I'm back to you, Leola. You were talking about the many reasons, certainly in this region, why children don't go to school. How common is that one?
Well, I don't know how common it is, but I have definitely encountered children who are taking care of their parent, guardian, or caregiver. In Philadelphia, you have a lot of grandparents who are raising their grandchildren. And I've definitely seen it within that context. A parent or a grandparent may not physically be able to make it to school or get that doctor's note, or the child has to take help that parent or grandparent with their health needs, or they may just be worried about that parent and not want to leave them. So that definitely can be an issue with kids.
Well, this is such an important issue. And my thanks to both of you for joining us today in Radio Times. Leola Hardy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And she's senior attorney at the Defenders Association of Philadelphia, the juvenile, also a juvenile policy analyst. And Hedy Chang, thank you for joining us as well.
My pleasure.
Executive Director of Attendance Works. And we began with Pennsylvania State Senator Judy Schwenk talking about some new laws here in Pennsylvania. I'm Marty Moscoeng. Go to whyy.org/radiotimes. And you can find out much more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Stay with us for Hour 2.